Welcome to Real Estate Investing for Women. On this show, you will learn how to create wealth through real estate the blissful way. That means with very little stress and very little time. We talk about strategies, mindset, heartset, money smarts, resources, and so much more to ensure you're able to create the success you most deeply desire. Now, here's your host, Monica Sawyer.
Today, I am so excited to welcome to the show my friend, Debbie Olson. This is what Debbie has to share with us today. I was adopted by my stepfather and told my biological father did not want me and was later told he was dead. I decided to take a DNA test in hopes of connecting to a paternal relative. I received an email from a connection via Ancestry that turned out to be my half-sister. I learned my dad is alive and I have a half-brother. It is this moment right here that turned my life upside down. For me, the shock was happy and something I had wanted for so long. From this shock, going to therapy and working with a life coach, I became certified as a life coach to help others in similar situations. I met and connected with Alexa Harselt, and we have united to co-host a DNA surprise podcast. Together, we are also hosting our very first surprise retreat on May 4th through 7th, 2023 in Tucson, Arizona, and you're invited. Hey there, Debbie. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So ladies, I've known Debbie for a while. We're part of a mastermind that has really powerful people in it. Don't you think, Debbie? Like just amazing people.
Yes, absolutely.
People. And every single person that I've never had this experience in my life before, but every single person you meet has so much to offer. And so a lot of us are real estate people and a lot of us are not. And it's incredible to me the exchange of heartfelt support, of business support, the things that we bring to each other, whether we're in the same industry or not. Now, you ladies know that because bliss is such a big core value of me and this show and my business, that I'm very acutely aware of how our own personal life, our personal experience of life affects our businesses and our lives and our relationships and our parenting and our learning and all of those things, right? So I often bring life coaches on. And Debbie is one of those people that as she has talked about her experience with this sort of surprise DNA test, it's been really incredible to me to watch her experience and how she has grown and her incredible strength, but also to realize that this is an experience that's surprisingly common now. Like there was no Ancestry.com or 23andMe before 5 or 6 years ago. I think that's when it was popularized. I don't know when it all started, but that's kind of where now everybody, right? During COVID, all of us were getting our 23andMe tests, right? For me, I found out that my heritage is exactly from the town that my mom was born. So there was like no surprises. It was actually funnily boring. I did find out that I'm a higher percentage Neanderthal than many people, which was a little disconcerting, but whatever. But the point is that for me, I didn't have that experience, but Debbie did. And as I started to talk to people, I realized more and more people do. And for some people, it's this amazing experience. For some people, it's heart-wrenching. In all cases, it's disruptive because you've got these, as she says, a surprise. And a surprise, whether it's good or bad, can be disruptive. And it can disrupt your life. It can disrupt your goals in life. I had another girlfriend that found a whole family she didn't know about. She had found a sister. She lived in Southern California and her sister lived in Santa Rosa. She moved to Santa Rosa to get to know this sister of hers that she never knew she had. They have this amazing relationship. They're blissfully happy that it all happened, but it completely disrupted her life. It turned out to be the most amazing thing, right? And it has mm-hmm. turned out to be an amazing thing for Debbie also,
right.
But it was disruptive. And so as we're navigating this brave new world that COVID has created for us, as we're coming out of it, as we're doing all these new things in our lives, like discovering our ancestry and new relatives and all of those things, I felt that it was valuable for Debbie to come online and sort of share her experience in the way that she does, which is so lovely, to see if this touches any of you ladies. Because in real estate, if we have blockages, if we have disruption, it's going to affect our business. And I've seen it. It's been such a big disruption for so many people. So I hope you ladies find this valuable. I do want to say that Debbie is holding her first retreat, and I'm super, super excited about it. I won't be going, right? Because I don't have this issue. As much as I love Debbie, I don't travel unless I have to anymore. But I know that this will be valuable to some of you ladies. So stay tuned with me, and let's get going on this podcast. Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts. That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free. Debbie, you gave us a little bit of your story, but could you kind of give us sort of a high level of really what that experience was like for you? Kind of what happened?
So growing up, again, was adopted by my stepdad, and he was the only dad that I ever remember being in my life. I have two full older siblings who did have a little bit of a relationship with our biological dad. They're 6 and 7 years older than I am. And I was about a year old when my parents divorced, my biological parents. So they have some memories of him. They had some experiences with him. But for myself, I only ever had the father-daughter relationship with my stepdad. Mm-hmm. As we were growing up, we weren't really allowed to talk or ask questions about our biological father. We were always told he didn't want us. You have a great dad. Be happy for what you have and get on with life. And I do think some of it, that was the thing that you did back in the day. That was what was socially acceptable to do. As an adult, probably early 20s, I think my mom wanted to put the final stamp on it, if you will, and just told us that she had heard our biological dad had passed away. I never really had a desire to find him until I had a desire to find him. He was always in the back of my mind. There were always little things I would do here and there. Decided to do the DNA test with the goal in mind that I would find one person who would know something about my biological dad and would say something kind about him, because I'd never heard anything very kind.
Mm-hmm. And why After is that taking, important?
I think when you have a parent that you don't know and you're not told kind things about them, you feel a little bit like there's something wrong with you as well.
Got it. Okay. That's very real. Got it.
Yeah. I just wanted to hear something good.
Good.
So after taking the DNA test, I took it in 2018 and I didn't get any matches that were high enough or that I could equate to my dad, my biological dad. And so I kind of stopped looking at it. I kind of gave up hope. And I got a message from my half-sister, who I learned was my half-sister. And she was asking me very specific questions, where I was born, if I knew my siblings, and she was using their first and middle names, things that people wouldn't necessarily know to ask. And I was on vacation with my husband, Shane, and I looked at him and I said, I've got this really weird message. This girl really knows some things. And I was a little freaked out, but at the same time, really wanted to talk to her. And we had probably one or two very brief messages. And then she finally said, I'm your half sister. We've been looking for you for so long. And then the next message told me, I had said, I understand our dad's passed away. And she said, no, he's alive. You have a brother as well. We live in Canada. We're so happy. So
that's
it was
interesting. So they were really happy to have found you. That's lovely, actually.
That was a really nice feeling, because the more you learn about people that have these DNA surprises, some of them are rejected. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, they're the results of affairs or different things like that. And so wives or families aren't told and they're rejected. And I was very much accepted, not only accepted, but we've been looking for you. We wanted you in our lives. So for me, it was an incredibly wonderful experience.
I love that. And so then what happened next?
We did a lot of emailing back and forth, my sister and I, and then within a few weeks, we did some video calls with my sister, my dad, and his wife, my stepmom, which is my half-sibling's mother.
Right.
So, yes. So just getting to know each other, you know, learning about things, finding out how we got lost from each other. My dad was very, very worried that we were going to hate him or be upset with him, and which was nothing like that was true. I told my two siblings, my two other siblings that I had found him. They both said the same thing. Well, we thought he was dead. Mm-hmm. So there was just that dynamic of trying to build a relationship and get past the past, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But it was disruptive to your life. So talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
No, not at all. It was really disruptive. At first, it's pretty euphoric and you think about it 24/7. You stop sleeping at night. You think about everything that you've been told in the past. You think about what could have been. You think about what it will be like now. You just, there's not anything that I think that you don't not think about. It's just constant. And I was able to go to Canada in September of 2019, found them in May, went in September and met them. And by the next May, I was in therapy. I think once the euphoria and the newness and just so many things sort of wore off and life gets sort of back to normal. I call it the honeymoon phase. The honeymoon phase was kind of over.
Right.
And then it was at that point that I recognized that I needed some mental help to help me cope and deal with and understand and what to do with all the things that had happened.
Mm-hmm. For you, even though it sounds like it was very euphoric, there was quite a lot of anger around that too, wasn't there?
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about that. And you know what? I'm sorry to put you on the spot, Debbie, but I want to really make it real because I know that any other person that's gone through this, even my girlfriend who had this amazing being reunited with her sister, there was a lot of pent up anger inside about why was this stolen from me my whole life? And she had to go through a lot to get past that, even though the whole experience for her was what you might call euphoric. So you just kind of, I know that people are going through this. And so I want them to kind of understand what your story is too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't feel put on the spot at all. I'm very comfortable talking about this now. That is one thing I will say. At first, it was really difficult for me to share these things. Mm-hmm. And when people would ask me questions, I oftentimes wouldn't know how to answer them. Mm-hmm. Partly because I was ashamed. You feel ashamed that you didn't grow up in a perfect nuclear family. There's shame around that. And I think that people don't want to feel angry. Yes. You know, you have this great thing that happens to you and you don't want to feel that anger. But the fact is, I was angry. I was angry at my biological dad for not trying hard enough to find me. I was angry at my mom and my stepdad for taking us away from him. You are just very angry. You're angry that you missed out on Christmases with your siblings and birthdays and the traditions that they've created that you're not part of. And it's a lot to think about. And a lot of it does make you mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like it's possible to get past that?
I feel like it's possible to get past it. I sometimes don't know if it's possible to completely forget it. Sometimes things will be said or things will happen and that will bring out some feelings and some emotions in me. I'm learning and I've learned, I think, to allow those feelings. I allow myself to be mad. I allow myself to be frustrated, to feel like it's not fair. It wasn't fair that I didn't get to have some experiences. So I think feeling your feelings and just allowing them, not being ashamed of them, I think that's really important. And I've tried to do that.
Okay. So define specifically, I know you've given us kind of in your story, but define specifically what you're qualifying for your work, because you're a life coach, a DNA surprise.
A DNA surprise is when generally someone will take an over-the-counter DNA test. Like you said, you did 23andMe. I did Ancestry. I've done them both now. But at the time I did Ancestry. And generally has a surprise. Similarly to you, I know someone who found a half-sister that she didn't know was out there. People are sometimes finding out they're adopted if their parents don't confide that in them or they're donor-conceived. A lot of donor-conceived people are finding
their real dad.
Or hundreds of siblings. Some find a few and some find hundreds. Mm-hmm. That's a new thing with the DNA testing is the donor conception. So it's any type of surprise like that, where it might not be that you're often, it's your dad's not your dad. That seems to be kind of the most common thing that, at least in my communities and things, that seems to be the most common thing. But oftentimes that's not it. And there's another person in the community who her biological dad reached out to her and said, "Hey, I think I'm your dad." And they did a DNA test to confirm, and he was. Mm-hmm. So usually it's with a DNA test, but not always.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So how did you decide to go into this work? And let me qualify that just a little bit. There are a lot of people that are having these surprises that did not become life coaches. So,
sure. Right? Sure. Yeah.
So what drew you to this work?
As you said earlier, the DNA surprises are becoming more and more prevalent. The more people that are testing, the more it's happening. And there's not a lot of resources in the community for people that are having these DNA surprises. And there's not a lot of people that feel comfortable going to therapy or talking publicly. When I had first had my DNA surprise, I would not have done this podcast. This would not have been something I would have done.
Right.
And so I think that that's what drove me, was just knowing that there's a need for it.
Mm-hmm.
I have historically worked in, I call it legal land. I've been a paralegal for a long time. I've done family and criminal law. That's a lot of working with families and their dynamics, good, bad, or otherwise. And so I felt like I already had some experience in difficult family situations, which assisted me in choosing to do the life coaching.
Got it. And are you loving it?
I'm loving it. Yes, very much. Good. Very much.
Yeah.
It's very fulfilling for me as much as it is. I believe I'm helping others, but it helps me as well. So it's great. Yeah.
As life coaches, that's always true, right? You grow from your clients as much as they grow from you, which is really, really amazing.
Absolutely.
So that's lovely. How did you meet Alexis?
We actually went to a different retreat and connected there. We had connected on social media. I don't do the podcast with her. She does it on her own.
Okay.
But so we had met at a retreat and connected that way and continued talking after the retreat and decided that doing our own retreat would be something that we would be really interested in. Again, there's not a lot of resources in the community. There's not a lot of those opportunities out there for people. So we just started bouncing it around, and the next thing you knew, it was being planned.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
That's perfect. And so talk to me about the idea of this retreat that's coming up.
So we want to really create a community of healing and wellness. We have a ranch style facility where we're going to be holding the retreat in Tucson, Arizona. So it won't be snowing like it is here, hopefully.
Good.
Yeah, it'll be warm. Yeah, beginning of May. It's May 4th through 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So think Airbnb style. There's some shared spaces. We'll be providing the meals. We'll be there for Thursday to Sunday. Thursday night, we'll do a big dinner, get to know each other, kind of share why we're there, where we're from, because we have people from all over the United States that are coming, which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have expert-led sessions with different facilitators that are going to speak about different things. So we'll have 3 facilitators each day, Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday, we'll have just a little brunchy type of experience and go back home.
Perfect. Could you talk to me a little bit about what the experts are going to be sharing and talking
about? Yes. Let me get there. I made notes because I didn't want to mess them up. So we have one that's going to talk about grief. We have someone that's going to talk about trauma, big T, little T, traumas. We have someone that's going to talk about, she calls it RAIN, which is recognize, allow, investigate, and nurture. We have someone that's going to do a write to heal, where we'll do some writing exercises. We have another gal who's going to do a little art project with us about being broken and putting yourself back together. And I'm going to do a session, what's next, working on your strengths that you already have.
I just got tingles listening to that. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun, I think.
Yeah. And it's really, for a first retreat, that's ambitious too. I'm really, really proud of you for putting together so special the first time around. That's amazing. And there's something magical about the first time. Ladies, have you noticed this? The very first house you buy, the very first man you kiss, right? The very first time you go for a dance, right? There's something really magical about that first experience doing something. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, like I've done a lot of retreats myself that I've put on. And the first one, it's not always as put together. Like your son's really put together. Mine wasn't, but it was so magical. It was like that first time. It was the first experience. And I'm still close friends with every single person that came to that retreat because we had this amazing creation together that changed all of our lives. It was amazing. And so I'm super excited for the people that are going to be joining you, Debbie, for this one, for this creation.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And what I'm so impressed with, ladies, so she's capping it at 30 because she really wants there to be really personalized attention for everybody that's there. And I know sometimes when we're going through hard things, we don't want to be in a big group. We really want to be held in a smaller community. And I know that Debbie was feeling that too. And so she wanted to create that for people. So she was only going to create, only have 30, but it's May 4th. So it's 3 weeks away. And she's already half full, which never happens for anybody that runs retreats or events. Usually people buy their tickets in the last week or the last 2 weeks. So to have it half full is just, it really does speak to how prevalent this is out there.
Yes. And I really want to say when I went to my first retreat, I was nervous. I didn't know anyone. And I do feel like this environment we've created and we will create will be welcoming and loving. And it can be a little intense with emotions. And we want people to know that they can take a time out if they need to. There's no expectation of them to attend every session if they're struggling or if they just need a minute by themselves. And that's absolutely something that they can do. And we want to create that space for them, as well as the community and togetherness and holding each other in a safe space.
So I am the victim, as many women are, of sexual assault. And so when I've gone to retreats to heal that, when I need that time out, sometimes I really need someone there to help me through the time out. Do you feel like you'll have that kind of support there?
Absolutely. I think with our facilitators kind of being around and with Alexis and I co-hosting, there'll always be one of us that can kind of handle whatever's happening in the socialized part of the retreat. While if someone needs a hug or a timeout, we can do that as well.
Okay. That's really valuable. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Who do you think should attend?
Anyone who's had a DNA surprise. If you've taken a DNA test and you've found a father, a sibling, any type of, maybe you're adopted. Alexa specifically had an ethnicity shift. She found out that her dad that raised her wasn't her biological father. And she was raised to be half Mexican and half white. And then she found out she's actually African-American and white.
Oh, wow.
So she's had some ethnicity shifts with hers. That's been something that she's had to work through. So the DNA surprise, it's hard to just say it's this is what it is, because I think it is kind of vast. So the best definition is if you've had a DNA surprise.
Okay. Good, good, good. So you've told us a little bit about the facilitators and what they're going to be teaching, but could you talk about each of them as a person a little bit and introduce us to them?
I can. I don't have their names in front of me and I'm terrible at this.
Sorry to put you on the spot there.
That's okay. I can say, I know off the top of my head, Christine Wolf is doing the Right to Heal. She is a writer in Chicago. And that lives in Chicago, and she helps people write memoirs. So she'll be teaching that session specifically. As I said, I'm doing a session on what's next, building on our strengths. So it's my hope that I can listen to and take from what the other facilitators have taught at the retreat, and then I can build on that for everyone.
I know that that's one of those things that you're really, really good at is the what's next conversation, because we've had this conversation. So this is another thing, ladies, that you might want to know. Debbie and I, so we have all these group activities that we do with this mastermind. And Debbie was one of the very first people that I had a group activity with. And I kind of laid it all out on the line. I've got some really fun, I love my life, but so I've got some fun secrets, right, that I don't share with the broader world, but it was relevant in this particular exercise. And it was so fun to look into her eyes and speak that truth without fear. I didn't know if I was going to be judged or whatever, right? We're all kind of afraid. We're in that vulnerable space about being judged. And just how kind and generous of spirit she was, and the way she held me, and the way that she was gloriously happy for me. It was amazing. And that's why we became friends, is because her as a coach and her, and my thing was, okay, so what's next, right? Like I've developed I have to confess, I believe I'm this amazing manifester. I've created this blissful life that I just can't even believe is mine. I want that for all of you ladies, which is why I do this show, right? I want it for the whole world is what I want, but I'll do what I can do. But there's always a what's next. It's my belief that if we're not wanting, we're dying. And not wanting like, there must be more, there must be more. I want more, I want more money. I want bigger house. I want, yeah, not like that. But like, there has to be something that we're being pulled forward towards in life, that we're working towards, that we're blissfully inspired by, that keeps us alive and keeps us growing and evolving, not just in our businesses, but in our lives and our relationships and everything that we're doing, right? And so I'm very much a what's next person, not because I'm not satisfied. You ladies know that I do, but I'm always like, thank you for this. And what's more? What's possible, right? Mm-hmm. How could I be even more blissful, right? And so it was really fun to talk to Debbie about, here I am in this place, and I don't even know how to set a goal for the next thing, right? Like how to feel that inspiration moving forward. I was feeling stuck. Poor me, I was stuck in my bliss, right? But sounds so goofy, but it's true. Like I had gotten to this place where I wasn't sure where I was headed next. And Debbie really helped talk me through that. And that was a 10-minute exercise, ladies. So I know that what her capacity is. And I'm so looking forward to you guys experiencing that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So the other people speaking, Megan Irwin is going to talk about the trauma, the big T, the little T. Jenica Klegman is going to...
So talk a little bit about the big T and the little T.
So with traumas, there's big traumas and little traumas, and I'm certainly not an expert on this, but this is what I know Megan's going to speak about. And I believe she's going to speak about working through the big traumas and the little traumas and how to work through those things.
Yeah.
That, you know, how to do that. Yeah. And, and maybe how to identify them as well, right?
I think that's the thing. Like, and that's my question is, how do I define a big T and how do I define a little T? To me, it's all T.
Right. And she's going to speak about how they affect our bodies and our minds. And she's going to give tools to manage those things.
Okay. Awesome. I love that.
Yeah. And then we'll have Jenica Klemmen, and she is a advanced certified grief recovery specialist. And she's going to talk about grief recovery methods. She works with people who have lost spouses, pets, children, friends, any kind of grief loss that way. Because when you have a DNA surprise, there can be grief in it as well. I did find my dad, he was alive, but I've grieved 50 years of not having a relationship with him. So that's, I think, how that can play into, or if you've been rejected by family, or if you've found a biological parent or sibling and they've already passed, that's where the grief can lead in. And so she's going to talk about that.
That seems really valuable too. Absolutely.
Jennifer Spencer, she is going to talk about radical acceptance. Oftentimes with the DNA surprise, you can lose your identity. Again, Alexis is a perfect example of that, was raised Hispanic and then found out she was African-American, some identity crisis in there. And for me with that, I was never raised with any biological paternal side of my family. So having found that, it's interesting to see our likenesses and our differences and different things like that. So I think that the radical acceptance is really, really interesting when you've had a DNA surprise.
Well, and I'm sure what she's really going to be talking about is radical acceptance of yourself. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
We can't expect anything from anybody else, really. We're all going to have our own experience around this, right? But the radical acceptance is really about self-acceptance.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have Lindsay Johnson, and she is going to talk about, she's the one that's doing RAIN. I'm sorry, I lost my place. So RAIN is recognize, allow, investigate, and nurture. So she'll teach us how self-compassion is an important tool in healing after you've had a DNA surprise or anything similar to it. And then Christine will do the writing. She's doing a Write to Heal session with us. And I
that.
Again, she helps people write their memoirs and different things like that for her job. So I think having her, it'll be an amazing experience. I'm so excited for her session with us.
Yeah. I have walked people through, I'm by no stretch, I'm a professional at this, but I have walked people through putting together their own memoirs, pieces of it. Specifically, I had a girlfriend who was going through cancer, And so she was sort of writing through the process. And that book, I believe, when she's finally completed with it, will be an amazing resource for people going through similar things. But it was incredible to watch her own growth and her own examination of this disease and of her own will to live and her capacity and her strength and her resilience, and just to really honor those things. But I don't know that she would have put any focus on that if she hadn't. Well, she's got a great mindset, so she would have. But I think that it was so much more powerful for her to write it. So
absolutely. Yeah. I think sometimes just getting it out, whether you share it, you don't share it, journaling, any way of sort of getting it out is incredibly important.
Yeah.
And healing.
Just for yourself. Yeah. Just for yourself. Yes. Absolutely. I agree. This has been so much fun, Debbie. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing about this. Like I say, this new world of things that we never had to deal with before.
Yes, absolutely. And I appreciate you and I appreciate your audience for allowing me to come on and talk about something that is not related to real estate.
It's related, sort of. It's a different way.
Yeah.
But yes, I think that clearing these things out of our life creates more clarity and opportunity for us to succeed. So I think it's really valuable. So I appreciate you sharing with us a conversation that nobody has. I'm just saying, like, you just don't hear it out there in the big wide world of small talk, mm-hmm. right? When you're out there. So
yeah, no one usually walks up to another person and says, "Hi, I just found my dad. Do you want to hear the story?"
That's right. That's right.
Which everyone would probably be, absolutely, what an incredible story.
Riveted. But it's yes.
Not, yeah.
Yeah. As you're sobbing, right? Like, oh.
Yeah, definitely that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so this is a great topic I brought especially to my ladies. They got to hear it, right? How many podcasts do you ladies hear this on unless you're like pursuing it and looking for it? So thank you, ladies, for joining us. Is there anything, Debbie, that you wanted to say before we sign off?
If anyone wants more information, I have my resources and my website are dnasurprisenetwork.com.
And if DNA you're interested Surprise in, singular, right? DNASurpriseNetwork.com.
Yes. Okay. That's my personal website, information about coaching. And I have resources on there, different books and podcasts and things that people can refer to if they've had a surprise and kind of don't know where to turn. And Alexis's podcast is DNA Surprises with the plural, DNASurprisesPodcast.com. And then obviously that's where you can find her podcast. So
perfect. And do you have a free gift or is there, I didn't look at that. Do you have a free gift?
I am happy to do a free coaching session with anyone. If they just want to, they can email me through my website or it's just Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, at dnasurprisenetwork.com for my email. If they just want to mention that they heard on the podcast, I'm happy to do a free coaching session with anyone at all.
Perfect. That was so generous. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Of course. Yeah,
much.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah. And then the dates for the surprise retreat, again, are May 4-7, 2023, right? Mm-hmm. And for those of you that are listening to this in the replay and may have missed that retreat, definitely go to her website again and check what's going on now. Like maybe there's some other resources or another retreat or something else that you can plug into so you can get the support that you need to create your blissful life, even through all of this, right? So could you repeat the website one more time?
Sure. It's dnasurprisenetwork.com.
Okay.
And the retreat specific is dnasurprisesretreat.com.
dnasurprisesretreat.com.
Yes.
Okay.
Alexis did do little bonus episodes on her podcast from all of the facilitators. So if anyone's interested in hearing the facilitator speak for themselves and what they're going to share at the retreat, they're available on her podcast as well.
Perfect. And that is the DNA Surprises podcast. So you can learn more about the facilitators. That's awesome. Debbie, thank you. This was amazing and so good to see you again, like not in our mastermind, like in person, face to face. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Ladies, thank you for joining Debbie and I for the show today. I so appreciate you and I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there. Take action and create the life your heart deeply desires. I love you guys. See you later. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how to become a blissful millionaire, go to blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.